I reckon I'd have it.
That's your toy or something, mate. It's your weekend toy. My girlfriend's left me, but...
I told you to keep that on quiet.
Hey, my girlfriend's left me, but I got this.
Well, Steve, how have the lads been then over the last couple of days?
Yeah, they're good. You know, we obviously we take the disappointment of the film getting a last minute goal, but that aside, our performance was good, and we always keep our training ground and our level keel anyway. We never have it too high or too low, so the boys are focused in and getting ready for another tough game.
I wanted to talk about Johnson Clark-Harris as well. 2 goals in 2 for him. Do you feel he's starting to find his feet?
No, not really. I think there's a lot more to come from Johnson Clark-Harris. I said on record what I thought his potential was last week. He's got staggering potential. But we thought the game was... He was a little bit quiet in the game, and perhaps his runs weren't as pop as full, but he's such a talented boy, and he's probably the only player in the whole of our squad that could have scored the goal, given the quality of the finish. Great cross by Ben, but it's terrific body strength and terrific versatility to get his foot round the defender to score it. So there's much more to come from him.
How much was it about potential when you signed him? How much did you know you were going to have to take your time with him?
Oh, lots and lots, because we'd watched him enough times to realise that, you know, what Johnson Clark-Harris was doing at Oldham was all self-taught. You know, he has to be coached into a way to become a more accomplished striker, about timing your runs and when to run and when to go short and long without getting too technical in the coaching side. And so it was the raw potential. And very similar to when we signed Kieran Agard, I said to our chairman it would be a year for Kieran. Well, records tell me I was right. And I said to the chairman when we signed Jono, it would be 18 months before we had him right, because he's a little bit younger. He's just left his teens and become 20 years old, and 4 or 5 years younger than Kieran, so it's a little bit more to learn.
I spoke to him after the game as well and was quite impressed with what he had to say. He was quite a confident character. He said he felt he'd settled in really well here, and he was already kind of settled in the area and with the squad.
Oh, he's settled in. He's a lovely kid. You know, I've always got a little saying, as son-in-law material, if your daughter walked in with him, you'd be quite happy. He's a lovely young man who conducts himself properly. And the nice thing from our point of view, from the minute he arrived, he wants to improve. He wants to go on the training ground. He wants to work hard. He wants you to teach him. He wants you to talk to him about his development. And when you've got that desire like he has, then there's always an opportunity.
I wanted to pick you up on something else you said to us after the game as well, about players living right when they're away from the club. What did you mean by that?
Well, I just mean that you have to prepare for every football match as if it's the biggest game on the planet. And I'm just reminding my players, nothing that I've got no internal issues, I'm just reminding my players that my players have to live right if they're going to be part of something. And there's players locally to us, but not at this football club, who are not living right. That's what the grapevine tells me, and I just want to make sure that my players know that if they're not living right, I'll come down on them like a ton of bricks. But I've not got those issues, but sometimes it's nice just to put a shot across the bow to say, hey, I'm watching.
Yeah, just a bit of a warning shot.
Yeah, very much so. You know, our chairman talks about people turning up and showing a desire to work and all the way through his business, not just the football club. And he says that on a regular basis, and he's got no issues. I know that because I know everyone in the business. But he does it just as a little warning shot across everyone to say he watches every day, and it's my job to do that here.
Is it about avoiding complacency as well then? Because your side have done well this season so far.
Well, we've competed in most, if not every minute of the games in the Championship. But it's fine margins, as we all know. You know, there's a fine margin the other night, but there's also a fine margin when we equalise at the likes of Bournemouth early in the season. So we need to make sure that if we're coming up against these big, big clubs, huge resources in comparison terms, then we have to make sure that we get every bit of value for money we can. And when our chairman talks about value for money, everything's in that mix to make sure we do.
Business-wise, loan moves, any update for us?
Well, nothing for the weekend. I'll keep looking at my phone and hoping that Paul Douglas is going to ring me and tell me we've got some joy. But we're trying to do one or two bits of business. But as we said, sometimes it takes a bit longer if you're trying to get players improving and you're already in a tough league like the Championship.
Striker-wise, are you still looking to bring someone in to replace Luciano Becchio, or can Johnson Clark-Harris step into that hole, do you think?
Well, I think we've got more than Jono can step in the role. I think, you know, Jordan Bowery can step in the role. I think Matt Derbyshire could step in the role. He misses a chance the other night, but he's getting in terrific positions and works so hard when he's on the pitch for the team. So we've got strikers that can step into the role, but we've always said, you know, we'd like to work with another striker if it's not going to be Luciano, and And so we're looking now.
So now you just sit and wait then, I guess, for those phone calls?
Well, you sit and wait, and you don't sit and wait. The initial thing you do is you identify the players that you would be interested in, and if there is an interest in them, and back from them, then it can go forward. We only want players at the Millers that want to be a part of that dressing room, that want to be a part of what we're trying to do, because if they don't want to be a part of it, we simply don't want them. And we've made that clear from the first minute I come in League Two. You have to have a desire to be part of what we're trying to do.
What about players going out as well? I know you fielded a strong reserve team in the last couple of days. Any of those players that might be looking to get some football?
Well, we always field a strong reserve team, and as strong as we can, unless it's a Tuesday night at somewhere like Hartlepool, and it's no conducive to your first team players getting back into bed at 4 a.m. We have a big week ahead, or a big weekend ahead. So we always believe in putting our players in the reserve games, because we believe them playing competitive games. And but, you know, there's one or two players, you know, such as like the Milsons, and Mark Bradley's no back for a little while, and players like that we may consider putting on loan, but only if the club's right, and only if the player's keen to go and get a run of games for 4 or 5 weeks.
Have you had any inquiries then for people such as Rob Milson?
Well, I've had lots of inquiries about different players. I've had even inquiries for players in our team, but it's not about inquiries. It has to be generated by us, that one, because it's what's right for us.
Team news-wise then, how are you looking at any new knocks or niggles?
No, we're in good shape. Obviously, Rob Milson has come through a 90-minute reserve game on top of a closed door game at Wigan, which is great. Young Conor Newton played for 70 odd minutes in the reserves on Tuesday, and is back in training and come through no after effects. So Richard Wood is training, but will join the full group on Monday. So we're in good shape.
I guess it's a positive headache then you've got at the minute.
Yeah, we want positive headaches. You know, since the start of the season, we always seem to have had the medical department have just been nothing short of inundated with different little things. Not all soft tissue injuries, some of it's knees, some's groins, some different things, and it can be frustrating as a manager. But over the piece, we're gradually getting those lads back now.
In terms of Brighton then, you obviously manage down in that region, in that area. What do you make to them?
Oh, they're a great club, aren't they? They've just, you know, the stadium, the Amex Stadium, we've got a fantastic stadium. Theirs is just super. It's wow, that's what it is. It's 75, 80 million pound facility. It's just stunning. And on top of that, they've just opened in the summer, I think it's about 32, 33 million pounds. The chairman has invested in a new training complex. So there is massive, massive investment going down there. We're a very rich chairman, but a chairman that I want to return on that. And I think everyone expected at the start of the season to, when you looked in detail, forgetting everything else, looked at the squad of players that was there and who they added to that squad, and every expected Sammy to have his players challenging for automatic promotion.
They really have transformed as a club, haven't they, over the last few years, in a similar fashion, you could say, to Rotherham as well.
Yeah, very much. I've taken teams to the old stadium, to the WIF team with the running track, and you know, it was pretty soul-destroying, and crowds were down at 4,000 and 5,000, for maybe less on occasions, for Brighton Hove Albion, and they were always a club historically who were a big club and capable of top-flight football. And that chairman, Tony Bloom, has given them that opportunity, hasn't he? He's like Tony Stewart of the South. He's taken them to the Amex Stadium. And, you know, I think everyone thought a couple of years ago when Gus Poyet had them in the playoffs that this would be the season. And last year was probably a little bit disappointing for them. But certainly when you look at that squad of players, it's certainly a squad in paper capable of finishing in the top three or four in this league for sure.
What sort of style of football can you expect from them, do you think, this weekend? Then what do they do under Sammy Hippier?
Oh, they're a passing side. The two fullbacks will be high up the pitch. They play like wingers. They'll be strong in the middle of the park where they'll pass it and move it. And their strikers will link the play very well. I watched them in person last Saturday when they lost at home to Middlesbrough. In the first 20 minutes was as good as I've seen a team play in the Championship. Brighton laid siege to the Borough goal, missed two or three good chances to go in front, and sometimes it happens if you're short of confidence. Middlesbrough break, and the boy Tomlin sticks a great finish in the top of the net, and you know, and I have to say it then on in, Middlesbrough looked a more organised and more accomplished side, but certainly for that first 20-25 minutes it was an excellent performance by Sammy's team. So we need to be prepared to ready to stand at 3 o'clock.
And reports down in that region suggest to us that Sammy Hippier is not on the safest ground at the moment either.
Well, he's got a very safe chairman in Tony Bloom, who's always supported his managers. Listen, I spoke to the board at Brighton last week as a guest of theirs to watch the game, and they're very supportive of the manager.
And he's someone that I suppose he's still finding his way in the English game, isn't he, as a manager? Not as a player, obviously, we all know what he's achieved with Liverpool, but what, as a manager he is.
Well, yeah, and he got a big opportunity, didn't he, overseas as a manager.